All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is Gray and Ideas, and this is the Gray and Ideas Foodie Radio Show. Welcome back to another Saturday morning of food, fun, frolic, and friends. And we never know what's going to happen around here, of course. And I just want to make one comment real quick. We did it again. We're in the top five in the foodie category or food category on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, everybody. Actually, you did it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting us in the top five again. We'll try to keep doing this and keep you people listening. And the whole network's doing really well with all of our other hosts that have their own shows. Linky Murray. By the way, Linky will not have a show tomorrow night. She's been busy and unable to schedule this for this Sunday, but she usually has her show on Sunday night at 8 p.m. And then, of course, Tuesday night with our good buddy, Mr. John Dilley of Deaf Conversations in the Hot Sauce World. That's on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday morning, the Untamed Chef, Albert Hernandez, has his morning show. We've got a few more people going to be joining us soon, but thank you for everyone's support and making us get into the number five position, and we're staying up there, so thanks again. And now I'm going to bring on our crew, and usually I do this the opposite way, but Laurie is running around here making happy cakes, so believe it or not, I'm going to start with my good buddy, you know him.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best.
Oh, yes, you know him, Brian Fairchild, the wine czar, the dark side wine czar, whatever he calls himself now. Good morning, dark side, whatever you are,
good
guy.
Good morning, Mr. Brilliant. And, you know, I don't know about Lori. You know, she's making happy cakes. She's always late. She's missed shows, yet we're number five.
Yeah.
That means just the two of us. I don't know. You know, we might have to find a new sidekick.
No, we can actually cannot do this without her.
I know.
And there she is. I dream of Jeannie. I dream of Laurie, the Food News Jersey Star Girl. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Radio World. Every time that song comes on, I have to start doing a little shimmy.
Yes, she really does, too. She actually does a little shimmy.
I kind of shimmy
and
around.
And like I say, Brian, she always calls
shake.
You master. Calls you master, Brian. All right. Laurie, first of all, will be coming and going this morning because, she, like I said, she's making happy cakes. And, Laurie, I'm looking at it now in the oven, and it.
Can you smell how good?
Oh, my God, it's looking good. It's smelling good. So whenever you need to take a break to go check on your happy cake, you can do it. Our guest this week, first of all, is Dortha Heiss. I think I'm saying her name correctly. And she is a chief overwhelm eliminator. And, Brian, since you have been on hiatus, I guess because you're overwhelmed, you're probably going to like hearing about this woman and what he does, but she can eliminate your overwhelm.
Well, you know, I'm overwhelmed by so many things, including you. So you know, maybe she can help. Maybe she can help me be, you know, lift me from my dark side. You know,
I
you never know.
So.
No,
never...
stay on the dark side. I love it.
And she, by the way, has a new book. It's called Rising Above the Ashes, and it's basically reigniting your joy after any loss. And she's got an interesting story, and we'll be talking actually to her through a friend of hers, and I'll explain all that later. And then our musical guest, we have a really cool guy. His name is Steve Freund, and Steve is a blues guy, and you're going to like this guy, Brian. He has got some really cool music. He's been in the blues business for a long, long time. I think he's been on like 34 different albums. He's produced 7. He's a guitarist. He's a producer. And the music, Laurie and I were listening to the music the other day, and really good stuff. So that'll be our lineup for today. And I guess what we need to do, since Laurie's been gone, Laurie, let me go check your cakes real quick. Your cake looks good.
Ready. I think I get like 11:45. I got him on around that time.
Hey, Laurie.
Yeah.
Do you actually trust him looking at the cakes?
Yeah.
Are you not afraid that he's just going to say, "Oh yeah, they look fine," and then you get downstairs and the cakes are already gone? And then
no.
He rubs his hands together. He dances around and really gets happy when it comes out of the oven. I'm telling you, it's just it's magical, this cake. And we're going to friends tomorrow, so I'm like, okay, I'll bring him a happy cake.
They are.
Well, yeah, if they survive,
I would
keep my eye on them, like, you know, yourself, because you never know. He's got sticky fingers. So.
Well, Laurie, how many
just saying.
What did you say, 3 cups of sugar in this thing?
Yeah, don't give away the secret, but yeah, there's 3 cups of sugar.
Oh, my God.
I know. No, I mean,
and
it's
I,
butter.
And
sugar,
I ate these
just...
things? Oh, no.
Hey, by the
yeah,
way, Brian.
Different. When you make the cupcakes, they taste different than the actual.
Brian,
you make the whole pound cake, it's amazing.
Yes,
sir. She's making this in a new pan, by the way, too, that I bought her for Christmas. And it's this is the first time in this new pan. So I told her, I said, you can't take the whole cake to these people's house if you haven't tried it out in a new pan. So we're going to try to inconspicuously, is that the right word? Take out a couple of slices. And, you know, we got to do it for testing purposes. To make sure it tastes
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, of course.
She wants me to slice it.
And then glue the rest of it together. Is it a
He goes,
pan?
Slice it, and then take a slice. I'm like,
yeah, then fan it out on the pan. They'll never, I mean, on like a plate. They'll never know.
Yeah, if you, Laurie, if you slice the whole thing up, and he's right. Here he is. I'm on his back about plating all the time, and he just had
a brilliant idea. But you know what? The bundt pan, I have to admit, it's a beautiful Farberware bundt pan. It looks like a big flower. It's so pretty. I'm thinking, how do you cut up a flower and then put it back? You can't. It's going to be missing petals. I mean,
well,
how do you
no.
No,
no,
fan it out.
No. You cut it out and lay them out. This way, Grill can steal a few slices, you can steal a few slices, and it'll still like it look like an entire cake.
I think it is, too, and I'm a little nervous about, you know, these people, the you know, first time they've ever tried your cake, which I know is going to be fantastic, but we need to make sure to do quality control, so I'm just covering, you know, making sure it tastes
no, no, that excuse I don't buy.
All right, Laurie, they're looking okay. You got a quick news story. We haven't had food news stories from Laurie in so long, I forgot how we do this. Do you have a quick food news story?
Yeah, I've been busy. I'm kind of like Linky. I've been busy running around. I got some family obligations going on, and... You know, but here I am back, and yes, I have an article about bacon.
Bacon, all right.
Oh, good, and I have to share a commercial I just saw about bacon, but after your article.
Okay, I'll zip around. We've got like 6 minutes to talk. Okay, and Grillian, I will definitely be making some of these recipes for you because, oh my gosh, it's called Bacon Pancake Dippers. You take long strip with whole pieces of bacon embedded right into them. You pick them up with your fingers, and they say you can dunk them in maple syrup, and voila, the best breakfast ever. So you take you fry the bacon, you dip it in the pancake batter, and then you put it on the pan, and oh my gosh, is that amazing?
Actually, even I'm interested in that one.
You know what, though, Brian? I have to say that they show pictures, and they show the bacon on one side all, you know, fried, and they show the batter, and they show, you know, the guy dipping his hand in with the bacon in the batter and then plate, you know, laying it on the, I want one of those fry pans with the butter.
Mm.
Of course, you know, you put butter in. It says it's probably worth noting that consuming the amount of bacon involved in some of these treats will probably make your arteries explode, so you might want to proceed with caution. So bacon pancake dippers, yep.
Sounds good to me.
Amazing.
Cool.
Okay, and it says
can we make those after we finish this pound cake?
Sure.
Wait, how about using the pound cake batter?
Oh, don't even say it. That's amazing.
I think it's a new recipe right there. Happy
hey,
cake
Laurie,
with
I just
bacon.
Stuck the, I just stuck the toothpick in the cake, and it's still got gooey stuff on it, so it's not done yet.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, around 4 more minutes, 5 more minutes. Perfect. Did you really? Did you
yes, I did,
that?
Really. No, I really did. I just opened the oven, stuck the big
so
giant
sweet.
Toothpick in. It's all gooey.
He always takes care of me. Anyway, the writer says, this is the writer speaking. He quotes, "I love bacon. I love pancakes, but usually I don't love bacon pancakes," he says, "because you never actually taste the bacon once it's been chopped into tiny pieces and then mixed with the pancake batter." And he's right. You don't usually taste it. He said, "but that's not a problem with these pancake dippers. Though, because each of them has a whole strip of bacon right in the middle, it's a winner." Now, I want to do this one, too.
All right.
Baked bacon egg cupcakes. You take a muffin pan, okay, raw bacon, and you curl it up. And you take the bacon, you curl it up in each of the little, you know, cupcake tin things.
Yeah,
and it says,
I've seen
then,
this
then
one.
Then you crack an egg, and you dab, then you crack an egg with inside it. You add some herbs, and then you bake it. And they said it comes into gorgeous breakfast bites, and that sounds so good. Yep.
Yep.
So
well,
you
remember,
Add me a bacon.
Do you remember the bacon-wrapped onion that I did with the fried egg inside?
No. No, I never saw that.
You
know, you just got so fed up with looking at my superior
no,
food
no,
pictures.
No, no, no. If I
don't
go on Facebook for a couple
look.
Days, when did you post that? You've got to tag me in that. You've
oh,
got to
long
tag
time
me.
Ago. I'll have to dredge it up and repost it.
Yes. Now listen to this one. This is amazing. Bacon cinnamon rolls. You don't need to make your own cinnamon rolls from scratch. You just get the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. You roll them up with the bacon, and then you bake them.
I think it's great.
So do I.
I would never think of some of the stuff. Number
Forget
four.
Forget the nuts and the cinnamon. Just put the bacon inside.
Right. Okay, bacon breakfast pizza. It says, obviously, this one works best if the pizza you ordered the night before actually had to. But all you need to do the next morning is cook up some bacon, you fry an egg, and you slap the whole shebang over a leftover slice.
Oh yeah!
Now, all right, I'm gonna tell you something. I have a client, and we, in fact, we just did a little wine dinner Tuesday night with one of my clients, and it was a pizza night. I kind of designed the whole idea, and we were toying with the idea of doing a breakfast pizza because
really?
They actually their family does a breakfast pizza. Oh, shut up!
Sorry, I thought this was a serious story by Brian.
It is good. So
it's not
calls,
a serious
Brian.
Moment.
Ignore him. I'm
well,
curious.
The problem is I'm forced not to ignore him.
Right.
But anyway, so they do as a family, they make a breakfast pizza. And it's,
oh,
it actually
kidding.
doesn't have a tomato on it, although a tomato would be fine. But
yes.
They do, you know, they do fried egg on top, or they do it like, have you ever had carbonara sauce, which has egg in it, you know, and the ham and everything?
Yes.
They do it that
yes.
way, and it's
oh.
so good. They had made
oh.
one once when I was visiting them, you know, on a sales call, and they brought the pizza out, and we were sitting there drinking wine and having this breakfast pizza, and it was so good. So I absolutely, I love cold pizza in the morning, and I think a fried egg on top of a slice of pizza, there couldn't be anything better.
Couldn't be anything better. It's funny, I've never thought of a, you know, a breakfast pizza, but if you took, like, pizza dough, and then, you know, you had the egg on it, and then the bacon, and some, oh, my gosh, maybe even a little pepperoni. I could eat pepperoni like 24/7.
No, I hate pepperoni.
I love pepperoni.
Hey, get this, Brian. When she goes to Subway, she gets a, what is it, a ham with pepperoni
ham
and Swiss?
Swiss?
Is that what?
Ham, Swiss, and pepperoni.
Yeah, that's her sandwich at Subway.
With mayonnaise, spinach, olives, and cucumber.
Hey,
yep.
You're making me sick, my best friend.
I can guarantee you, Jared did not eat that and lose 800 pounds.
No.
All right. Laurie, your cake is looking a little like it might be getting too done. And do you want me to take it out of the oven?
I better come down. Oh, you're going to take it out of the oven? You got to stick the toothpick in it? No, I need to come down real quick.
No, you need to do your magic trick. I don't know what to do here.
Okay, you keep talking, and I'll be down in a second, and I'll come back.
All right. Well, let Laurie go check her happy cake. And Brian, I have to talk about two things. First of all, Chipotle.
I actually did pop in and read the article, even though I'm on hiatus. You know, I popped in and read the article. And you know what it's about. It's about their politics.
Yeah, it's about their politics. So let me explain to everyone who may not have read the article. Chipotle last week supposedly, the conflicting stories, but between 200 or 300 restaurants, they stopped serving their carnitas because they weren't going to use the pork. And the reason they're not using the pork is because the pork producers that they were buying the pork from basically were not allowing the pigs that they bought to have enough fresh air. I mean, that's kind of like the long story short version. And they want to have special pork that's in these, non-gestation pens. And if it doesn't meet a certain standard.
Let's call it free-range pork.
There you go, free-range pork. I like that. Can you imagine if there really was free-range pork? I mean, take free-range chickens and free-range pork and just let them run all over the place. There wouldn't be room for us if we did things the way that these people want to do it. But anyway, they stopped serving pork because their suppliers weren't doing it the right way. And I don't know how you feel about it, folks that are out there, and if you think it's inhumane and yada, 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 go for it. But for me, I think it's a joke. I've been involved in the food business for many, many years, and these animals are not mistreated. Sorry, folks, but you know, if you want a barnyard in your backyard, go get a barnyard in your backyard and go ahead and butcher those pigs and cut up those chickens on your back porch. But I just don't get it anymore. I mean, it is politics.
Yeah. Look, you know, I will be honest with you. You know my feeling about certain things. We actually own Chipotle stock because it's very good. We didn't buy it necessarily because of their politics. We bought it because it was a thriving business, and you know, I still eat at Chipotle, but I think I got the gist from the article that the places where they were stopping selling was in areas where they knew that people would be uptight about the whole situation with their, you know, inhumane of the animals. And it looked to me like those were the areas where they were not selling pork. I don't think that Richmond, Virginia, anybody would care whether the pork was penned up or free range or anything else. And, I should have done some reconnaissance and gone to Chipotle this week to see if they were serving pork or not. And I didn't. I apologize. But, you know, I'm on a tight budget. You don't leave enough money to do this stuff.
Well, I just, the whole story cracked me up. And it was like one of the big stories on Facebook. It ran for quite a while as the number one spot on Facebook, and everyone was talking about it. And I'm not a fan of Chipotle anyway because I think they charge way too much for their food. And, you know, you ever notice when it comes to all natural, everything costs tons more. And do you ever notice how they make lots of profit? And do you ever notice that's why you bought their stock? Because they're making tons of money selling politics,
yeah,
in my opinion. But
hey, look, I like their food. I still buy their food. I don't get involved in the politics. I eat at Chick-fil-A, even though a lot of people have issues with their politics. You know,
yeah,
it's like, if you don't like politics, then don't support it. You know, that's all. It's like everything else in the world.
Exactly.
If you don't like someone's politics, then you don't give them your money.
The other story,
and if you don't care either way, and it's just you like the product, then continue doing what you're doing.
Are you done? The other story is a Walmart story that I love. I wish Laurie was here. But you, by the way, Laurie is standing in front of me. She took her cake out of the oven, put it back in, and now she's eating the leftovers of that Subway sandwich that was left over from yesterday. So I don't think we'll see her in a while back on the radio. But anyway, a Walmart story that I love. A lady went into Walmart, and she drank 3 bottles of vanilla extract, went out in the parking lot. The way it gets better, went out in the parking lot and couldn't drive out of the parking lot because she couldn't figure out how to get out of the parking lot. And the reason was because she was drunk. And you ask, how in the heck could a woman get drunk from drinking vanilla extract? This is amazing to me, Brian. I did not know this until I read the article. Vanilla extract is highly alcoholic. If you look on the label, go look at pure vanilla extract, folks. You got it in your cabinet. Go look at it. Turn around. Look at the ingredients. Vanilla extract was something to the tune of 45% alcohol. Now, here's a better one. Lemon extract is 83% alcohol. And basically, it's like vodka and lemon zest. So people are going in and getting drunk on all these different extracts, and they're mostly alcohol. Did you know that, Brian? I didn't.
Yes, I did. You know, if it's artificial, it's not. But if it's real vanilla extract, it has to occur in the process of reducing the vanilla to, you know, create this extract where natural yeast in the air probably gets in there and starts fermenting the stuff.
Yes, it's basically like, it's like making moonshine, basically how they make this stuff. And I didn't know. I went and looked it up, and it has a high alcohol content. And so if you want to get a cheap, I mean, that's actually expensive drunk, but if you want to get drunk and ran out of beer and wine and whiskey, just go into your cabinet, grab a bottle of lemon extract and gulp it down. Now they did say, I did some research on it, that it can be harmful because it's, especially lemon extract, it burns on the way down. But you can actually get drunk by drinking those extracts. And here's the funnier part. Rum extract actually has less alcohol than lemon and vanilla. Go figure that one.
Well, but it's, I don't know, it's rum extract. It's already processed cane sugar. So
I know.
It probably winds up becoming less alcohol. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm just trying to fill dead air. I'm sorry. All right, let's see here.
Hey, wait. I saw a commercial just before we came on the air that made me think of you. It was just so funny. Have you ever actually eaten at a Dairy Queen that serves food rather than just ice cream?
Yes, I have. Does that surprise you?
Well, no, it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, I have to ask. Well, I've actually never eaten their food. I've only, you know, I love Dairy Queen ice cream. But I saw a commercial for Dairy Queen, and they were running this special, $5.99 or something, for a bacon cheeseburger. And this guy is all bubbly about the bacon cheeseburger, and he's, like, trying to convince this other guy, you know, about this bacon cheeseburger. And the other guy is this guy standing over his stove, you know, with tongs in his hands, cooking, like, tons of bacon, and all he says is, I love bacon. And the guy goes on, and the other guy goes on, and he's like, but this bacon cheeseburger, the deal, blah, 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 you know, like, he just keeps going, I love bacon.
Well, you know what? Talking about Dark Side, you got to go do that. They got the best chili dog at Dairy Queen. I haven't had them in a while. Now that you said it, now I've kind of got the desire to go out and find a Dairy Queen. But they got the best chili dogs at Dairy Queen. So, yeah, check that out, Dark Side Master. Go check out a Dairy Queen and report back next week. I'm telling you. Well, you know what? You're not big on greasy food. Their burgers are like, you could squeeze them and probably fill up like a shot glass of grease. But
I'll bring a roll of paper towels.
Dairy Queen.
The commercial was funny. At the end of the commercial, the guy who's trying to sell the deal says, "Oh, and there's it comes with a sundae." And the guy with the holding the tongs and the bacon, his eyes light up. He says, "I like sundaes." And that's the end of the commercial. And it's just like, it just makes me think of you standing over the stove, cooking bacon, trying to be sold on this stupid burger, and like, leave me alone, I just want my bacon.
No, just like me. All right, that's your assignment. They got to have Dairy Queen somewhere in Richmond. That's your assignment for next week.
Dairy No, I pass them all the time.
All right. Well, you got to go order in the fries. Oh my God! If they still got, I haven't been there. If they still got those crinkle fries,
because I've never eaten the food.
Chili dogs.
I know where there are. I know where there are burger. Dairy Queens. I know where there are Dairy Queens that actually serve food. The one that I know of in Richmond is just ice cream, but I drive past the other ones all the time in one of my various routes that I drive. So, yes, I can find it. I will take it upon myself to be assigned this very important.
Yes, please do. And now I'm going to play a song I guess it would be from. What would it be? A song A song by Steve Freund. Our guest is coming on later on, the blues guy. And then we're going to take a break. And we'll be coming back here with our first guest. The song from Steve is called "The Blues Has Made Me Whole." We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
What am I doing here? But I pick up my old guitar and answer very clear. I used to walk the street. I had no purpose to my soul. I was just a half a man. But now the blues have made me whole. I wonder, what am I? Some low-down blues, kind of a people won't. I wonder, whoa, I was like a half a little man. But the blues have made me whole. I wonder, what was I put here for? I know I'm here to play the blues. I don't have to wonder anymore.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it is the ultimate cooking experience. Go to www.biggreenegg.com and get yourself a Big Green Egg. And Laurie's back and Brian's back. And now, Laurie, I wonder if we could cook that happy cake in a Big Green Egg.
Ooh. Possibly.
Smoked happy cake.
Yeah. We have to try that out.
Maybe if you put bacon in it. I think the bacon dip in happy cake batter on the Big Green Egg.
Oh.
Super happy. www.biggreenegg.com. By the way, while we were gone, to Randy Finn, who is a loyal follower of the show, posted on the website, Ryan, you said free-range pigs, free-range pork. He sent a picture of a wild boar. He said that's free range pork. So it's true.
He is so sweet,
true.
Randy.
All right, we are going to our first guest, and like I mentioned in the intro, Dortha Heist is a she calls herself a chief overwhelm eliminator. And Brian, this is going to be good for you because you seem always overwhelmed. And she's written a book just recently too called Rising Above the Ashes. It's basically reigniting your joy after any loss. And we have Dortha on with us along with her friend Letitia. And Letitia is a friend of hers and will be speaking for Dortha. Dortha has a vocal disorder and unable to speak through the phone. And so Letitia is actually going to be answering for her. They do interviews this way. And welcome, ladies, to the show. Are you both there?
Yes, Letitia, we are. Thank you
there?
So much
okay.
for having us. Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. And first of all, I have to find out about Overwhelm Eliminator. You've got a website that's called PrettySmartServices.com. Letitia, can you tell us a little bit about what that is first?
Sure. Well, I consider myself someone who kind of helps business owners get out of overwhelm, and so therefore my title, Chief Overwhelm Eliminator. And what we do is we're a full-service virtual assistant company. We kind of take on all the daily to-do lists for all of our clients so that they can focus on the meatier things, the things that they really need to focus on. So we do everything from customer service, like calls and billing. We'll even find them public speaking opportunities. We do everything from scheduling and invoicing. And even blogging, blogging and newsletters and web design. So we're kind of a full-service organization that really tries to handle all the stuff that people are not necessarily always good at so they can focus on what they are good at.
You know, it's interesting that you do this because I've often wondered, I mean, it takes a lot of work to upkeep all those things, blogging and all the social media and all the things you just mentioned. And I often wonder, I see some people who are well-known and have tons and tons and tons of followers and friends and stuff, how they keep up with it. They always seem like they're Johnny on the spot. And now I'm wondering, is this something that a lot of big-name folks do? They hire someone like this with the service, and then they handle all the social media and blogging for them?
It's actually very typical. I think a lot of times people use organizations or businesses such as myself so that we can kind of take over the task, because sometimes it's daily or sometimes it's every other day that they have to communicate with their clients and their followers, and it just isn't physically possible for them to do it all.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I know it takes a lot of time for what we do. Saying, you know, Laurie's always saying she doesn't have time to get on Facebook and doesn't have time to do this and that, and it's just it is very time consuming. So it's an interesting service that you offer because I'm sure there are a lot of people who feel overwhelmed because of that exact feeling. Mm-hmm. Like my buddy Brian, who Brian goes on hiatus. He gets so overwhelmed, right, Brian?
Yeah, but you know what I'm listening to is that it's almost like people that you know need to have a press secretary, you know, and the press secretary generally winds up taking care of more than just their press needs. They wind up doing booking the transportation and taking care of the bills and taking care of everything else. So it's that's what I'm getting from this is that it's a service that's there to take care of everything. And I certainly do need help at times with a lot of things that I get overwhelmed by.
Definitely, and he needs more help than you really even understand.
then you know what? We should definitely talk on the side after this call. For sure.
And by the way, the website you can find is www.dorthaheist.com. We've got that on our website here for the radio show. You just click and go to find out more about the services. You were getting ready to say something. I interrupted you.
I was going to say too, and I think it's great what you're offering because I, like Brian, I get overwhelmed a lot just with things going on in my life. My family is in New Jersey. I moved to Maryland, so I try to get back there. I have a big family. I try to see everyone. I've been writing and getting ready to publish children's books. Now I have CDs going with them, so read along. So I need to take care of that. And then on Facebook, you want to, support your friends. And I find it's difficult to go on Facebook because I'm running around and I'm on the road a lot, too. So, yes, you get overwhelmed. Right. And I think it's just a great service that you are providing.
So how does it work? How do you charge people? Is it by the hour or by the project? How do you do that?
Well, I try to do packages. A lot of people have an assortment of things that they want us to do. And so we kind of base it just depending on what their real their needs are. What are the things that are kind of taking too much of your time to do that maybe don't generate as much business that you want them to do? So we'll take those things out of your hands so that then you can focus on, if you're a public speaker, great, you can, work on your next speech. If you're writing a book, great. Especially with writing a book, especially now that I've completed my own book, takes a lot out of you. That's a full-on commitment, and so I totally sympathize with your situation. But this is something that you give your all to, and so to think about all the little other stuff, it's so nice to have somebody who takes the time to understand you, your personality, and what your business goals are, and to develop and kind of take on all that for you.
So it's kind of like cloning. It's like cloning yourself, Brian. Can you imagine Brian having a bunch of Brian running around doing stuff for you?
Well, one of me is enough. But I actually have a question. Regarding things like social media and doing blogs, is how would you anticipate what the person that's hiring you would want to convey in a blog or on social media? Wouldn't there have to be prep time, which means they have to take time out to actually prep you to do the things that they don't have time for? So I'm just a little curious as to how you address dealing with services regarding social media when you're dealing with someone's, having to anticipate what they would say and what they would do.
That's a very good point, because we aren't you, essentially, right? And we're trying to be your voice in those kind of outlets. And so what we do is we develop a strategy session where, you and I will spend time together to really get to know what are the important things that you want to get out to your clients. And then we kind of go from there and see what route to take. But I want to tell you, too, that we do craft things first. So we'll create the product, and then we have you review them, so that it is something that you approve of and feel like, okay, this is what I would say. This is really good. let's go ahead and move forward with this. We try to do them ahead of time so that maybe we have, you know, a full month's work kind of already done, and it's just a matter of us sending it out on your behalf.
Now, Dorothy, let me explain something to you. See, now, people like Laurie, who are very popular, they have, like, hundreds and thousands of likes and responses they have to make. Me, on the other hand, I wouldn't really need your services because I'm lucky to get, like, 7 likes on my profile on Facebook.
That's not
So, I'll just take Facebook, for example, because I'm kind of intrigued by this. So, you take over as the that person, take over their page, and you actually will hit the likes, and then do you actually respond, or you just sort of keep up with what everybody's doing?
Well, yeah, essentially we're like their persona. So we can do both. You know, it really is up to the client how much control they want to give us. But, yeah, no,
okay.
We'll definitely do our work and do due diligence by our clients and making sure that we follow their mindset, you know, their personality. So we do definitely do a lot of background work in it before we actually move forward. Yeah.
Very interesting. Remember the old commercial back in the day, is it real or is it Memorex? You guys are kind of like Memorex. We'd know.
I could see you, well, you sound very kind and caring, and I think you can really, you know, relate to each person. Like, if I went on Facebook and I didn't know certain people and I kind of read a few of their posts and saw what they commented, I would get the gist of it, and I think I could pick it up pretty quick how they would want to respond. And I think the same with me.
Yeah.
I think if you went on my page and you kind of just saw the way I would respond or what I would post, you would pick me up real quick and say, okay, I know this is what Lori would want. I know Lori would want to say this. And I can do that. I think it's great because, boy, I'd love a double or a clone.
Have you ever encountered a situation where you actually said the wrong thing?
That's a good question. If we aren't sure, we ask. So I think that's kind of our backup plan so that we don't find ourselves in that kind of situation. I have a client
I had to interrupt you there for a second and laugh about that. Because usually someone like Brian or myself are the ones, the real people who say the wrong things. I think these people would be more apt to say the right thing, Brian.
I understand that. But, you know, I have my Facebook side, and then I have my serious side where I would be responding to things probably not in the same manner that I might respond to them, you know, like the kind of exchanges that you and I have, Grell.
Right.
So you really have to understand multiple personalities with people, you know, when dealing with social media.
It's an interesting concept, and it's like you said, Brian, it's like having an assistant or someone there to take care of the things when you just don't have the time. And you know, and that's the key about being in business. You got to keep in touch with your customers or whomever you might be dealing with and the clients out there, because that's one thing I've noticed, especially the way Facebook is set up nowadays, that you miss a lot of things and you don't see a lot of things because, A, you don't have the time, and it doesn't allow you to see people like you used to. So I'm intrigued, so we'll have to check this out. Now, we're going to switch gears here a little bit and talk about the book.
Okay.
The book is called Rising Above the Ashes, and which is kind of cool because we're in the barbecue world and cooking, and we have ashes in our barbecue grill, so I can relate to this, but I understand it's more about the phoenix and rising above the ashes. Can you give us a little background on the book and why the book was written?
Sure. Initially, the idea came to me after my mom passed back in July of 2012. And this book was really intended to be about the process of grieving over the loss of my mom. And then also, we kind of didn't have a perfect relationship. And so it was about getting through that fact as well, that here a relationship has ended that wasn't ideal, you know, what I thought it could be. But throughout this journey of writing this book, some things happened to me that beyond the death of my mother, which was this having several deaths actually occur after this for like the next 2 years. I actually went through 27 more deaths that were very close to me. And that was kind of how this book kind of took a turn into something quite different. It was kind of like, okay, how can I share with my audience, you know, not only the loss of losing your mother and then it not being one of those relationships that I could say, I really wanted it to be more than what it was, but also, you know, dealing with all of this death around me afterwards, you know, it almost felt like the pain was compounding on the one death. And I felt that this was a way for me to get that across. And while I was working through it myself, to be able to put my words onto paper and kind of give people an inside look as to how I went about that self-healing.
Now, this book is available, I think it just came out in December. It's available on Amazon. As a matter of fact, I saw it today. It's $13.49 on Amazon. And so is it more not just about death and loss there, but just in loss and disappointment and things that go on in people's lives?
Absolutely. You know, everything from even, even as a business owner, you know, losing your biggest client. Maybe you lose somebody that was a friend of a friend and you kind of were witness to that relationship. So whether it's business or whether it's personal, it's really kind of gives people a full perspective of how to deal with that loss and how to be patient with yourself, how to understand that, you know, not everybody goes through loss the same way. And so this is kind of that self-healing aspect and giving examples, not only from me, but even some of the people that I actually interviewed and shared stories with about in the book that affected me during that process as well.
Well, not to steal the thunder of the book so people will go out and read it, what are some just pointers, like some brief pointers that are in the book that to help people to cope with a loss, like you say, whether it be family, friend, or a job?
Sure. Well, one of the things I tell people to do is seek support. You know, support is out there. We just need to really ask for it. I want people to know that there's always hope, always, always, always. I want to really emphasize that. A lot of times we feel we can drown in the grief and that there's no way out. But I want people to understand that there is. And that the grief doesn't have to define you. We can get lost in the grief. We can kind of see. Sometimes we tend to see everything through the view of the grief that's around us, and it doesn't have to be that way. And that there's joy in it. You know, this is part of the whole circle of life. It is what's going to happen. But sometimes after death comes life, whether it's a new birth in the family, you know, a celebration of a graduation or things like that, and we have to be able to go past the grief and kind of experience the joy that life does have to offer.
Okay. And now we talked about happy cakes before you came on the show. I don't know if you were listening to it. Laurie makes what we call happy cakes, and I'll tell you that they make you feel really good. They have a great way of bringing you back from the ashes. And I was just curious, I mentioned in an email to Dorothy, since this is a food show, let's talk about food for a second. What is Dorothy's favorite food?
Oh, that's a tough one. favorite food. There's so many choices. I don't really think I have just one, but I think lately, for me, I've been really enjoying, especially with the cold weather, just hearty and healthy soup. I recently made a chipotle black bean soup that was absolutely delicious.
Fantastic.
And I made that with some homemade paleo and gluten-free tortillas, so those were healthy, and it was just really, really good. So that's something that's kind of been in our menu in our family lately.
Yeah, like I said earlier, rising above the ashes, there's a lot of happiness that comes out of our cooking because it rises above the ashes.
Sure.
Makes people feel really good, and we do try to do that each and every week here on the show, trying to raise people's spirits. And I know food makes me feel good, and I think I know the happy cakes. And by the way, the happy cakes are done, Brian. She just took it out of the oven, and it came out perfect.
I don't know if you realize, but I'm on my way over now.
Good.
But anyway, Dorothy and Leticia, we appreciate appreciate you joining us today, and thank you for sharing the information about the Chief Overwhelm Eliminator and the service that you offer there. And if people want to find out information about that, they can go to dorothaheist.com, and I've got the link right here on the radio show, and just click and go. And it sounds very intriguing, and I know a lot of people who need that type of help. And also the book, Rising Above the Ashes, you can find it on Amazon. And can they also find that on the website, your website?
Yes, yes, you can. They can.
Okay. Check
May
out
I
the
make
book.
Another
check,
comment?
You could always can make
yeah.
comments.
Well, I would like to commend both of you for your communication skills, because actually we were curious as to how, you know, the two of you were going to communicate with us. And I think that, that you both communicate so well that obviously you both know each other's and react to
mm-hmm.
each other so well. So I commend you for your communication
you.
With us and really thank you for delivering the information and the message as smoothly as you did.
Oh, thank you very much. And now this is me talking as Letitia. but I do want to say that Dorothy is truly an amazing person. I really wish that you guys could hear her voice and her personality come out on this radio show, because Dorothy is extremely funny. I would say 100 times more interesting and funny and personable than I am, and I do my best to try to convey that. But if you work with her in any fashion, whether that be through her website and her VA services, or whether you decide to pick up her book, I will tell you, you will absolutely love your experience with her, and she truly is amazing. And whether she has to write to you or communicate with you, you know, the way she does, her personality comes out either way when you deal with her directly. So you'll get 110% of her.
Oh, I agree.
Beautiful people.
You know, it was a perfect interview, and thank you very much for joining us. And I agree with Brian. It was fantastic the way you communicated and passed along the information to our listeners. And come back and see us again sometime if you got a new book that you come out with or you got a new fancy recipe you want to share. Just let us know.
Well, thank you so much. It's
great
been an honor. And I'm going to have some happy cake. So thanks for sharing.
Right. Take care. Everyone, check out her website, dorothaheist.com. Like I mentioned, check out the book, Rising Above the Ashes. And sounds very interesting on both avenues. And speaking of rising out of the ashes, I'm going to take a break. And there's a song, one of my favorite songs, and I've talked about this before way back when, and to a certain degree, I sometimes feel like a phoenix rising, some of the stuff that Laurie and I have gone through. And I found this song way back 3 years ago when we started this radio show that I just like. I honestly don't even know who sings the song, but the song is called Phoenix Rising, which is appropriate to our last guest. We'll be right back with our next guest, who is Steve Freund, and we'll be talking about blues and listening to some blues music. But hang tight, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. back, and that was Phoenix Rising. I didn't really need to find out who sings that song. But, hey, guess what, Brian? The Happy Cakes are here. They're calling my name. Or Happy Cake, calling my name.
Happy Cake.
Brian. Hello, Brian.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Just want to make sure you were still there. Make sure you didn't go on a hiatus from the radio show.
No. I'm here. Don't worry.
And,
I'm on my way.
And answer-
Happy Cakes. I see Happy Cakes in my future.
And by the way, I didn't have a chance to write you back on Facebook. Your question you just asked me, no, I do not know who that is. Just so you know.
Hey, I just got a message from a friend that's listening live in the UK.
Really?
And I want to say hello to my friend Valeria. She's listening to us live from the UK. Two of our very best friends.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. jolly old good time over there, I guess. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think our guest is joining us here. Let me make sure this is who this is. Yes, it is. I mentioned it earlier. We played one of his songs. Steve Freund is a blues singer, guitarist, producer. If you love blues, folks, you're going to love this guy. He's in San Francisco, and he's been doing this for quite a long time. He was praised by Rolling Stone. Wait till you hear some more of his music. He's appeared in 34 albums, produced 7, and if everything's working okay, we should have Mr. Blues himself, Steve Freund. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here. Welcome
to
we played one of your songs earlier. I love blues, first of all, and I just love your music. And you've been doing this for quite a while, looks like.
Well, I'm 62, and I started doing this playing when I was 17. And I started in New York City, where I'm from, and I moved to Chicago at the tender age of 24. And at that point, I became a full-time blues musician and been doing it ever since.
Cool. And Brian has been in the music business for many, many years. And, Brian, you like blues and jazz. And
I love blues, and I also grew up in New York City.
Okay. Yeah. There wasn't much happening for me in New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, but I would have to travel to Greenwich Village basically to hear anything resembling blues in those days, and I eventually started playing on the streets on the corner of 6th Avenue and West 4th Street, if you know that spot. And and then I gradually started to play a little bit in the clubs with some friends, but it wasn't until I moved to Chicago in 76 that it really opened up the whole world for me. It was just an amazing time, an amazing place at that point.
And that's where
a much better
the
place
to the Blues
to be
started
blues,
right there in Chicago, right? Was that in the House of Blues in Chicago?
The House of Blues is just a chain of – it's a chain. It's
okay.
Like McDonald's now, I guess. It's the McDonald's of the Blues. I mean, you know, it really is. And I'm not putting it down, but I'm just saying it's basically a tourist attraction more or less. Musicians don't go there to listen. We might go there to make a little money and play, but I don't even think we have one in San Francisco. The one I played at the House of Blues in Anaheim, which is basically across the street from Disneyland, I think it was, and that was about 10 or 12 years ago.
I think the House of Blues is like McDonald's. So you go there and you order like a Big Mac Daddy?
I don't order anything. Big Mac Daddy would be good, yeah. But.
All right, Steve, I want to play some more of your music. I love it. I want to play the next one's on Highway 101. And if anybody who's ever ridden a 101, I can relate to this story. Is there any background story behind the song?
Well, the background on this story is when I moved to Chicago, I had a specific goal in mind. It was to play with the legendary piano player Sonny Lance Lynn, who I met in 1969 when I was 17. And they were doing a big show. It was Willie Dixon's Blues All-Stars, and they played in the Village, and I went, and I met all these heavy guys. You know, I was 17. These guys are all in their 60s.
Right.
And the one who really reached out to me the most was the piano player Sonny Rand Slim. He was born in 1907, so he was already like 62 years old at that time. And he was very open to me, and we chatted, and he gave me his business card, and he said, you know, if you come to Chicago, you look me up. Anyway, so I did, and when I got to Chicago, I looked him up, and he let me play with him, and I eventually became his guitar player for, for about 18 years,
wow.
17 years. Yeah.
Wow.
But 2 years later, in 1978, he asked me, hey, would you like to go out to play in San Francisco and Northern California? And I had never done a road trip before, ever. So we drove out from Chicago to California, and the this time it was just myself and the bass player. Sonny Rand flew, so he let us drive his like 1965 or 66 Chevy station wagon, an Impala station wagon. Each tire
classic.
On the car tire was a different size. I'm telling you, each tire was a different make and a different size. And it was a horrible 3 day event, because we got a blowout right at the Bonneville Salt Flats, and I just remember hearing I was snapping, and I woke up, and there's the Bonneville Salt Flats, and we got this horrible flat. So we put the spare on, and the spare was an even different size, and we didn't have a spare at that point, so we limped into San Francisco, and I called him up from a payphone, and immediately I was not quite livid, but I was really disappointed. I said, Sonny Rand, how can you send us out like this? Each tire is bald, they're bald, and they're all different and not balanced. They're all different sizes and models. And he immediately came. We immediately took us to Sears and bought a brand new set, 5 brand new tires, and then we continued our tour. But this story is really about that trip from Chicago to California in 1978.
Very interesting. See, you would never know that about the song until you hear the story. That is really cool. On Highway 101, we'll be back to talk to Steve in a couple of minutes. About, do you want to say something else before I play the music?
Well, I just wanted to let the – it's always good to – when I write songs, I try to write them autobiographical, because they actually – I'm trying to tell a story. And I personally don't write about, like, trivial things when I write. I don't write about shoes or models of cars I drive, or a hat, or a sunglass, you know, that kind of trivial jive stuff. I try to get down and tell a real story, because that's what this music started out being. It's folk music, and it's stories of the people.
True. All right, everyone, hang tight on Highway 101.
Okay.
We'll be back to talk to Steve in just a couple of minutes.
up on your son. California. I will be back someday on Highway 101. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Highway 101.
And that was Steve Freund on Highway 101. See, that, I love that. Knowing the background story and then hearing the words makes it even a cooler song. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And
together, I love it.
Since that was such a cool story behind that one, we actually played the song before you came on the show, The Blues Has Made Me Whole. Did you write that song?
I did write that song, and I recorded that one as part of an album. I actually recorded that in Long Beach. I think you guys are down there near Long Beach, aren't you?
Well, I used to be in San Diego, but now I'm over here on the East Coast. All three of us are on the East Coast now. But yeah, I've been to Long Beach, but not anymore.
The phone number I dialed, 714. That's not an LA number.
that's actually the old number from back in the day when I was in San Diego. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a band called the Manish Boys, and this happened about a year ago, February, and they asked me to be part of the CD as a special guest, and I wrote this song especially for that CD and recorded it live, and that's basically live. There's very, very little overdubs, if any, on that song.
Huh.
Just the way it came out.
I actually had a question about that song as I was listening to it. At one point, you said, "Come on, Frank," or, you know,
oh, yeah,
or something about Frank.
Okay.
And my first reaction was, okay, is Frank like B.B. King's Lucille? Is Frank your guitar?
No, that's another
guy.
Okay. He's a friend of mine. He's the other guitar player on that number. Frank Goldwell.
I got
Frank
you.
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah.
All right, so now you're actually playing out there at, I was reading, I make sure that, I don't know if your bio is up to date, but you're in San Francisco and you perform at the Saloon there in San Francisco?
I perform at the Saloon once or twice a month. I have a steady little restaurant gig in a kind of an upscale restaurant every Monday pretty much. I'm going to be doing a private event with my friend Bob Skaggs, who called me a couple of days ago. I work with him quite a bit, off and on. And, you know, I've been to Europe a bunch of times. I'm hoping to go again. We've got some few things in the fire. And, you know, just basically, you know, I play up in Lake Tahoe. I'll be going up there in February. And, you know, basically mostly California.
Okay.
But I do tour the Midwest. You know, I go back there periodically and to Milwaukee and Madison and Chicago areas. And whatever comes up, it's kind of a lifestyle right now that, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing 3 or 4 or 5 months in advance. And then all of a sudden a bunch of work might come in and fill my calendar up. So it's kind of that kind of a lifestyle. There's no.
You have 7 albums that you produced.
I don't remember how many, but I produced a lot back in the in Chicago in the 80s. I started doing some work for Blind Pig Records. I think I did 3 or 4 for them, and I did one for Tone Cool Records, which is out of Boston, and I co-produced my own CDs, of course, and
right.
Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, I don't really know how many I'm on or how many I produced anymore. I'd have to go back on the website and actually see, but it's about that many.
According to the website, it says you've actually appeared in 34 albums and produced 7, and if people want to find your music, do they go to your stevefreund.com, or can they find it elsewhere, like in all the CD Babies and all those places?
Well, they could do that, too. I mean, I actually have CDs in stock that people sometimes ask me for, and I'll actually sign them and put them in an envelope and send them out if they pay me by PayPal or if people send a check. So my email link is on my website, stevefroen.com, and certainly could do it like that. I'm on eBay. I mean, these things all of a sudden appear all over the place. You know, they're on eBay, iTunes. You people could buy these kind of tunes on iTunes and just buy, like, you know, one or two or three or all for 99 cents a piece or something like this. But if they want it signed with the actual jacket, it's always good to go right to the artist.
All right, now, everybody always says that barbecue and blues go together. Are you a barbecue guy? Since this is a food show, I have to ask. Are you into barbecue?
No, man. No, I don't eat meat. I do not
eat
meat.
You know what? I had a feeling you were going to say that because you're in San Francisco. I just had this gut feel.
No.
But are you still can barbecue? You can barbecue vegetables,
right?
They
eat meat in San Francisco.
Let me tell you something. People might think California is all peace and love, but let me tell you the honest truth is there's more meat eaters here in Chicago from what I can gather. People
really?
Eat meat like crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even, you know, I think you guys were talking about Whole Foods earlier or something. Whole Foods is a huge meat market as well. It's not. It's
true.
It's, I personally haven't eaten meat, eaten a piece of beef. I haven't eaten a piece of pork since 1974. I haven't eaten a piece of beef. I haven't eaten beef since 78. And I haven't eaten poultry since probably 1984. And I do eat fish. And I do eat dairy, and I do eat eggs, so I'm not a vegan. But I just don't eat mammals or birds. That's just my thing.
Well, see, now, because I am a meat eater and a carnivore and one of those people that are just nasty, and everyone, you folks like you, think we're all evil, but I have to ask, why? Because it's always intriguing to me. Was it health reasons or just reasons because of animal welfare or what?
Well, if you want to get into it, I'm glad to get into it. I don't go around preaching this stuff, but it started out for me as a health thing because heart problems ran in my family. My father died very young.
Okay.
And so the meat contains, most meat is just a lot of fat and cholesterol in it, and there's also uric acid, and then you've also got – and I mean, it's got a lot of uric acid. And then you've also got you've got all the hormones and antibiotics that have been given to the cattle, and that filters out into the bloodstream and into you. So that's one of the reasons. Then I got into – and then if you've ever watched a film on the slaughtering process and the meatpacking process, that might change your mind. I don't know if you've ever watched that. It's serious.
I've actually been involved with actually that end of the business. I came out of the poultry industry and actually worked for a very large poultry operator out on the East Coast and been involved in all that for all my life. So I'm very familiar with it, but a lot of people aren't. And there are some issues at some places that I agree with. I know what movie you're talking about, but it's not all that way, but there are some bad apples out there.
Well, you know, then there's the spiritual aspect of it, which I'm into. And the big question is, you know, do the other creatures on the planet have souls? Do they have a soul? You know, I have to ask myself this. Not everybody's going to ask this of themselves,
right.
But I did. And I believe that the animals do have a soul. I mean, if you look at a dog, if you have a pet dog and you play with that dog and talk to that dog, you may not have the intelligence and the consciousness level of what we have. But there's certainly an eternal life force in there. There's a spark. And I just don't think it's right for me to – I don't need to eat meat. I don't have to take an animal's life in order to eat. It's just a thing. I eat fish, and that may be a little hypocritical. I have a different aspect on fish. I have a different – you know.
Vegans will give you an argument on that.
I have to say, fish are kind of dumb because you can drop a worm in front of them and drop them back in off the pier and put the same worm in front of them, and they'll bite it again. So
yeah, I know. It's true. Fish are different, and you know, and fish are cannibals. They do. They eat their own, and so therefore, I don't really have as much. I don't have that much sympathy for them. Plus, I need protein. I do need protein. So I'm trying to find the least of all the evils in my life to keep my muscles, my muscle mass, whatever there is left, together, you know. So
right.
It's kind of like that.
Well, see, we do a food show, and we always talk to people, and we talk to vegans. We talk to some that are part vegans. We talk to people who are into all natural, into free range, and all the different things that are out there. I always find it intriguing. We always say to each their own, and even Brian and I don't agree on most things, from food to wine, what have you. And I always just find it intriguing why people make certain choices in their food. And it's, you know, everybody has their reasons. I personally like to eat bacon, and I'll always eat bacon, and I'll probably ask them to put a pound of bacon in my casket when I die, because I can probably cook it where I'm going.
You know, I grew
we'll
up.
We'll just boil you in bacon fat.
Yeah, I grew up eating bacon, you know, every single day of my life. And, you know, I love the taste and smell of bacon. I use imitation bacon bits quite a lot in my cooking. But, you know, I just don't eat meat. But I don't go around preaching about it, you know.
No, it's very
nice.
Expensive. Yeah, thank
well,
you for
yeah,
sharing
and
that.
Well, yeah, and we respect that.
Yeah, we do. You know, I make fun a lot of times, and you'll hear me talking about it. But, no, really, everybody has their reasons for doing the things that they do. And so I think that's cool.
Now,
let's talk about music again real quick because I want to play one more of your songs. And I love the story.
I just want to interject one quick thing.
All right,
one of the people who got me into being a non-meat eater is B.B. King, the greatest blues guitar player of all time. He's a
BB's a
vegetarian.
I didn't know that.
There are a lot of us, believe me, there are a lot. I'm happy you're playing my music. Thank you so much for having me on the show. What's the next song? I forgot what I sent you.
The next one's called Worried About That Gal.
Oh, yeah. That's that was on my personally last CD I did about 2 years ago. If you like it, you know, I wrote that. That can be applied to now. That one is a little more generic. That could be if any of you have had a crazy girlfriend or crazy boyfriend, then if you're someone who's always you'll know.
Like a
you'll
wife,
know
two people, husband or wife, or
So that's what that's about. Take your pick. Any crazy girlfriend or boyfriend in your life, you can apply that song to them.
All right, I tell you what we're going to do. We're actually running out of time. I can't believe it. We've had so much fun talking to you here. We're almost down to the last 6 minutes. So what I'm going to do is we'll close out with that song, Worried About That Gal, and about those people, those crazy girlfriend, boyfriends, husbands, and wives that are out there. And Steve, thank you for joining us this morning and sharing your story. It was great, and we really enjoyed it. And, guys, I'm going to sign off. Before we go, Brian, did you want to add anything? Because we got like 4 minutes left.
I only want to add that I think the two craziest people I know that are boyfriend and girlfriend.
All right. And Laurie, I'm going to dive into this happy cake here shortly. Laurie, did you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I can't wait to hear this song.
All right,
oh, my
Steve,
gosh.
Thanks again. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week. I'm John Gray, Ideas Radio, and everyone have a nice weekend and listen to our show this week. Take care. We'll see you next Saturday.
All right. Gal of mine. Yes, I am worried. What about that gal of mine? I am worried in my heart. I'm worried in my mind. I'll let her take my car down to the store. Now my car, it will run no more. I am worried about that gal of mine. I am worried in my heart.
word in my mind. She went down to the post office just to drop some mail. I got a phone call from the county jail. I am worried about that gal of mine. Yes, she keeps me worried in my heart and in my mind. Bottom dollar, she gonna start some kind of fight. I am worried about that gal of mine. I am worried in my heart, worried in my mind. When that woman loved me, she loved me with a thrill. But I got a bad, bad feeling she gonna get this old man killed. I am worried about that gal of mine. I am worried in my